Psalm 104, verse number 10, begin reading. The Bible says, He sendeth the springs into the valleys, which run among the hills. They give drink to every beast of the field. Wild asses quench their thirst. Verse 12 says, By them shall the fowls of the heaven have their habitation, which sing among the branches. He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for this day, and thank You for loving us. Thank You, dear Jesus, for the friendship that You bestow on us through the grace and the sacrifice of Calvary. Thank You that You're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. You said You never leave us nor forsake us. I ask, dear Lord, that You would just guide this message, and the Holy Spirit of God would speak and work through us, God, that Jesus would have the preeminence, and that we'd leave here with some verses and some insight into the Word of God that would guide us through not just this day, but every day and the days that come in the remainder of our lives. Lord, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I love these verses. You may have a seat. I love these verses because they debunk one of my favorite myths, and that is of Mother Earth. The Bible says, He watereth the hills from His chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of Thy works. He causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and herb for the service of man, that He may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengtheneth man's heart. The trees of the Lord are full of sap. And goes on, as these verses show us how that God takes care of the, He gives the lion food to eat at night, and how He allows the sun to come up for man in the morning so that he can go and do his work. And so all these things, these verses teach us and show us how that God cares for and oversees and guides His creation. I'm glad that I know the Creator this morning. I'm glad that I know the God of all wisdom and the God of providence. I'm glad that I know the omnipotent God, the almighty God, the all-loving God. I'm glad that I have a God who calls Himself the great physician, and also He's the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley. And I'm glad that I know Him as my Savior. I'm glad of all those things. I'm glad I know that He loves me. But also understand this also, that in this life that we live, that there's sorrow and sadness and suffering, and that the inevitable valleys of life, and they come to each of us, and each of us handle those valleys differently. Some speak of their valleys. Some tell things, and others hold things in and never speak, and you couldn't pry it out with a 2x4. You couldn't get it out of them. But there's, we all deal with troubles. We all deal with sadness. We all deal with disappointments. We just deal with them differently. The times in life which no one asks for. When you pray, you don't ask for trials and tribulation. No matter how spiritual you are, you say, well, I've heard people say they give up praying for patience because the Bible says tribulation brings patience, and so they say don't even pray for patience because you're asking for troubles and trials. And the reason I don't pray for patience is because I don't need any. I'm perfect in the area of patience. I nothing ever bothers me, and that's not true. I don't have to pray for too much patience. God gave me children, patience and all those things. But it is true that trials and tribulations and troubles, and don't wonder why when things come. Just know that God allows things into our life for a purpose, and that God is trying to teach us. And that comforts me. And man, that strength, that helps me to know that there's a God in heaven. Psalm 84:6 says this, says, Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also filleth the pools. The word Baca has two meanings to us, and one is that it means the valley of misery. Psalm 84:6, if you need to check it, it means the valley of misery. It also means tears. And He said, as we pass through the valley of misery, as we pass through the valley of tears, as we pass through the valley of Baca, He said, we make it a well. Brother, listen, last time I checked, a well is something that someone else may use to replenish themselves. And it encourages me to know that our tears, our suffering, our sorrows as Christians never go wasted. I mean, there's somebody somewhere that can use my suffering. There's somebody somewhere that can use your suffering. Your trials, your afflictions can somewhere, someday help somebody else. When you lose a loved one, listen, it helps you to better understand the hurt and the pain that others suffer when they've lost a loved one. And you can help that person. Why? Because as long as we live down here, there'll be other people suffer. There'll be other people that face trials and tribulation. That's why the truth of the matter is, though, we ourselves have to suffer. And though, and we have to endure suffering. And we're not expected to be, some inhumane, uncaring robot. God gives us emotions. Say, preacher, I don't think you ought to ever weep. Well, go ahead and try. But there's something wrong with you if you never weep at anything. Say, preacher, I think you ought to just grin and bear it. Well, you can grin and bear it, but you're going to have to deal with it sometime. We're emotional beings. No matter how strong you may perceive or try to be, you still got to deal with the problems that face every one of us. And thank God this morning that those problems come and those miseries come and those valleys of tears come, and they come so that we can use them somewhere down the road. We use them in our own life. I can look back in miseries and trials in my life and see that in those time of trial that God gives deliverance, that God gives strength, that God helps me through the way. The Bible says in a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 3. I'll read it to you, but you might want to write it down and check it for yourself, because you may not believe it unless you see it for yourself. I wouldn't believe it if you told me, and I had never read the Bible. I'd say, that verse, surely that's not in there. But I'd have to see it for myself. But it's Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 3. The Bible says, sorrow is better than laughter, for by the sadness of the countenance, the heart is made better. Verse 4. If you have trouble with verse 3, wait till you read verse 4. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. The Bible says sorrow is better than laughter. I mean, I know we don't think that way. I know we don't see things that way, but there's a reason for why sorrow comes. There's a reason for why times of mourning come. There's a reason for that, and there's a God in heaven that knows and that allows things to come into our life. Listen, the song of the bird in the treetop comes from the time, from its times by the springs in the valleys. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, any of you ever venture to get up in the morning before the sun rises? I just try it around here, get up before the rain starts, amen? But just slip out of the house sometimes before the sun rises and before the heat of the day settles on, and especially in the springtime, and you'll hear one of the most beautiful sounds you ever heard. I noticed it this morning. I took a little walk down my road and there in the city, and mid all the city, I mean, the interstate runs right over top of my house. I'm that troll that lives under the bridge down in Nitro, it's Billy Goat's Gruff. That's my favorite book growing up, by the way. And so if you got a copy of it, save it for me. Read it at my funeral. Billy Goat's Gruff. But I love it when Big Billy Goat gives it to that troll, amen. Oh, big Billy Goat, my hero. But listen, anyway, a glimpse into the warped mind of the preacher. The interstate going by and all that stuff this morning, all I could hear, I walked out, man, birds. I mean, there's a bird in the morning that gets outside my window. And the loudest thing you ever heard, we had a bird in our house this week. My daughter, we've got a tadpole in our house. We've got two frogs. We've got a turtle. And we had a bird for a little while. The bird died. He didn't make it. And the cat across the street caught the bird. And Autumn saved the bird from the cat. But the cat ultimately went to be with the Lord. It didn't make it. I mean, there's birds everywhere. And I love to hear the singing of the birds. You say, preacher, that's kind of something, you know, for somebody else. Now, I like to hear birds sing. Amen. I love to hear the different sounds that they sing. But I know this, that for a bird to sing, he's got to have water. I mean, he's got to be able to take some time to drink the water. And also, in all the years that I've been alive, I've never yet seen a stream running through the top of a tree. Have you? Have you ever seen a spring running through a treetop? They just don't work. Now, if you have, we live in West Virginia, there's all kinds of odd things. Don't tell me, all right? Just leave my sermon alone. You say, I've seen a tree upside down coming out of a cave, and it was running through the creek. Well, don't tell me about it. That's why you take pictures. It was an oddity. But listen, trees run through valleys, or springs run through valleys. Water runs through the creeks, amen? It runs through the valleys, through the low places. And before that bird can get in that tree and sing that beautiful song, he's got to get down in the valley by the stream, by the spring that runs through the valley. He's got to get somewhere to get that cool water, that refreshing water that gives him the song that he sings. I believe this. I believe that a bird in a tree, the reason I like them, I believe they're singing about Jesus. Amen. I believe they're singing about the providence of God. And listen, the Bible says that God charged. They're sure not singing the song of Mother Earth. Amen. Listen, I believe they're singing about God. If they had to rely on Mother Earth to feed them, they'd all starve to death. You say, preacher, I feed the birds. Yeah, but who gets them to your house where you got those breadcrumbs laying out? I put out one of those bird things, you know, not a feeder. I'm too cheap for that. I just threw an old block out there on top of my roof to watch them come around. And they don't care. They don't have to have a house. They just want somewhere to eat. Amen. Listen, and that those birds, it laid there for 3 or 4 days before they ever come. Two things were going on. One was they had to decide whether or not it was a safe place to land, and God had to get them there. But now those birds come there. I mean, that's a, you know, that's a regular Go-Mart for them, or McDonald's or Speedway. I mean, they or supplement, whatever. They know where the birds, they know where the seed is. You feed the birds, they'll come looking for it. Why? Because God directs them to where the food is. God guides them. He leads them. He directs them. You say, well, you really believe that? Oh, yeah, not a sparrow falls but what God doesn't know about it. That's my Bible. Amen. That's what the Bible says. So listen to me this morning. Hey, listen, those songs, when they're singing, they're not singing the song of Mother Earth. They're not singing some song to honor man. They're worshiping. They're not worshiping the creature. They're worshiping the Creator. They're singing the song of the bird that's been fed by God, who's been nested by God, who was birthed by God, come out of the egg that was protecting the egg by God. And that same bird gets its water and its supply, and everything is dependent on God. And when that bird flies to the treetop, he's singing songs of praise to our God. Brother, we ought to sing songs of praise to God. I mean, listen, with every time we open our mouth, there ought to come out a little song of praise to God. God's been good to us. Say, preacher, all I ever do is spend time in the valleys. Well, guess what? There's springs in the valleys. You say, preacher, who put the springs in the valleys? God did. Amen. I can't tell you why the valleys come. I can't tell you why we spend so much time in valleys, but I can tell you who puts the springs in the valleys. Amen. God does. Amen. Listen to me just for a minute. Psalm 40 verse 1 said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. I'm going to tell you, when you're in the valley, when you're in the time of despair, trust in God. Wait on God. Look to God and know that God knows where you are, and He knows how to send the springs into the valleys. Matter of fact, the spring's there before you get there. You just need to find it. No matter what valley you face, the springs from God are there. I want to say this to you. The greatest songs in the songbook, you check it out. How many of you ever heard that song, It Is Well With My Soul? Boy, a song we hear, it sprung forth from a man from God to a man while that man was in a great valley, having lost his two children, and his word came to him that his wife alone had survived, and from that valley God gave him that spring that brought forth to us that song, It Is Well With My Soul. Peace, a spring like a river, it's well with my soul. God knows what He's doing. Amen. How many of you have ever seen that Psalm 23 posted at a funeral or at a place of comfort? The Lord is my shepherd. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That man whom God used there and to whom God gave that psalm, David, spent many, many, many days and nights in the valley of uncertainty and why? He didn't know the reasons why. He was in the valley, but God gave him that psalm as a spring in the valley, and that spring still flows for us. Whenever we visit the valleys, we can look to Psalm 23. Other psalms in your Bible, I recommend you read them. Whenever you despair, you're trying to find help, they'll do you a whole lot better than any of those afternoon TV talk show hosts that you might listen to. They'll do you a whole lot better than just escaping and getting off and having a laugh. Just get your Bible out, amen, and look and see what God has for you. There's springs in the valleys. Listen, the greatest songs, they come from the valley. Let me tell you this, that we need the treetops. We need this whole world. I mean, we need the United States of America. We need all around West Virginia. Every time they make a list, they just start with putting us at the bottom. Brother, listen, I think we ought to be at the top of every list. Amen. You say, preacher, it's just a miserable place to be. I don't know where you are, but man, I'd rather be here than anywhere else. I'm pretty happy to be in West Virginia. It's hard to live here. Well, that's what they say in other places, so just be happy. Amen. And enjoy being here. But listen, hey, we need the treetops to resound with the beautiful song of salvation. Boy, listen, if you're here this morning and saved, that means everything. I mean, listen, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. To whom is that promise made? That promise is made to the saved person. Listen, the Bible says it's appointed in a man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Well, I'm glad that my sin was judged at Calvary. Every sin that I ever could have committed or would commit, every sin was judged at Calvary. Jesus Christ bore my sin. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. My sin. Sins are gone this morning. Listen, if I were to stand before God right now, the old devil, the accuser, the brethren would try to heap my sins and bring my list up. And whenever he opened his briefcase up, or whenever he turned his computer on and hit my file, he'd find a blank page. It wouldn't be blank. It'd be something better than that on it. I'll tell you what it is. But there wouldn't be one sin on there. He'd scroll down the page looking for one black mark against me and find not one. Not area one. If he could find one, he could bring accusation that would cause me to be cast into hell. But there's not one. There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Romans 8:1. No condemnation. None. All my sins are gone. Justified. Just like I never did sin. The only thing on my record is the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. When the devil goes looking for my sin and trying to find something to accuse me of, all he can find is the good that Jesus did. And the good that Jesus has done in me since he saved me. Say, preacher, God writes it down. You're right. Since you've been saved, the only thing he's been writing down is the good you've been doing, which you did because the Holy Spirit in you led you to do it. Amen. Boy, listen, if you're saved this morning, I mean, it's time. This world is desperate for a song. This world is destitute. This world needs to hear some saved people say, hey, man, everything looks bad. The economy looks bad. The world, the uncertainty, it all looks confusing. But I know something you ought to know. I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. Jesus loves me. I'm glory bound. Boy, listen, he said, preacher, I can't think that way. Well, the Bible says you cannot but speak the things which we've seen and heard. Maybe instead of listening to and being a part of all the worldly stuff, we ought to get in the Bible and see what the Bible says. He said, preacher, give me something to hang on to. I'm just going to give you a whole book. Amen. You got one, hang on to it. Amen. Just give me a promise. How about a book full of them? That'd be even better. One that applies to me. They all do if you're saved. Precious promises. Boy, listen, the song of salvation that comes from the spring of grace that runs through the valley of condemnation. Listen to me just for a minute. There was a time when you were lost. If you're saved, first you had to be lost. There was a time when all your sins were heaped against you and you had no chance of heaven. You were lost. Had you died in that condition, you would have gone to a devil's hell to spend eternity separated from the love and grace and mercy of God. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And the beautiful story of grace came and you heard it and you realized that it was for you that Jesus died and you accepted it by faith. And that spring of grace swept in. And there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. He's put a new song in my heart, even praise unto our God. I can sing the song of the redeemed. I once belonged to the devil, but I belong to God now. Say, well, the devil makes me do bad stuff. Not if you're saved. The devil don't make you do nothing. We didn't need to sing the song of the redeemed. Amen. I'll go on. That one doesn't seem that exciting. I'll go to another one. Maybe they will find something good in here. The song of God's care and comfort in the times of trial and tribulation. The Bible says, and you can find this if you'd like to, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, let me read it to you in verse number 2 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2, if you want to find it. The Bible says, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is the effectual and the enduring of the same suffering which we also suffer. Whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And the hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so shall you also be of the consolation. Just as sure as there's times of suffering, there's times of comfort. I mean, listen, to say that we never have disagreements with people we love would be a lie. But listen, the truth of the matter is, the joy of that is, if we love someone, we'll try to fix and find an answer to that. And I think about that as I'm talking here as a pastor of a church, as a father to my children, as a husband to my wife. Brother, listen, hey, I want to love like I ought to love, and I want to comfort the hurting like I ought to comfort. And I'm going to tell you this, that whenever you're in pain, whenever you're in misery, you're part of the body of Christ. And we're to hurt with you. But our hurting with you may not be the greatest help as what we would want it to be. But we ought to want to help. But there's help that's greater than I can give. And that's the help that Jesus gives. You see, there's a spring that I may not be able to drink of it myself, but if you're in the valley of, if you're in that valley of trial and that tribulation, and you say, preacher, why am I going through this? Why, what did I do to bring this trial on? Listen, it's not what you did. It's just the fact that the valley is there and you're in the tribulation. You're in the trial. You're there. But I'm going to tell you that there's a spring of consolation that runs through the valley of every unanswered why. Say, preacher, I just don't know why, and I don't know why, but I'm going to tell you, there's a God in heaven that knows why, and there's consolation that runs through every valley of why. Why? Why is this happening? Why did this happen? Why must I face this and this and this? Well, I can't tell you for sure, but I can tell you without doubt that there's a spring of consolation and comfort that runs through that valley. God put it there. And God's Word never lies. And God's Word says the springs run through the between the hills, through the valleys. I'm going to tell you, no matter what trial you face or what tribulation you face, there's a spring of consolation. I can testify that I've visited that spring before. I've been there. Maybe not to the degree you are. Maybe no one's been there to the degree you are. But that just tells me that there's a greater spring there. Just stay. God doesn't say, hurry up and get out of there. You've had enough of that water. No, you stay till you're ready. When you're ready, I'll tell you what to do in just a minute. The song of assurance that comes from the seasons of despair and despondency. The Bible says in Psalm 142, if you don't mind me reading it to you, you can find it if you'd like to. Psalm 142, I'll read, give you time to find it. Psalm 142, verse 1. I'll go ahead and begin reading it, and you can mark it if you'd like to. It says this. It says, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. I poured out my complaint before Him. I showed before Him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then Thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. Who did he find when he looked on his right hand? Nobody. What did he do? He found that God was there. And I'm going to tell you this just for a minute, listen, before I read another passage of Scripture to you. The song of assurance that comes from the seasons or the times of despair and despondency. Whenever we despair of the love and the care of our friends and we wonder, does anybody really know what I'm going through? Does anybody really care about me right now? That's human nature to feel that way, and circumstances cause us to get in that valley where we despair of life and wonder if anybody cares. But the spring, listen, the spring of unfailing love that runs through the valley of desperation is right where it's always been. Listen to me this morning. The Bible says this in Romans chapter number 8, and I'll read it to you also. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted the sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Listen to me just for a minute. The song of assurance, assurance that comes from the seasons of despair and despondency. Brother, listen to me. All day long, just about on the way to church here this morning, early this morning, my little girl Autumn, who soon be 9 years old, Autumn will say, Daddy, I love you. And I say, Autumn, I love you too. This much. I'll hold these two fingers together about a 16th of an inch, and she says, Daddy. I say, okay, Autumn, I love you this much. And I'll hold them together about 2 inches. He says, Daddy. I said, all right, Autumn, I love you about this much. And I'll hold these two hands together about a foot. She says, Daddy. And I said, all right, Autumn, I love you this much. And I'll stretch my hands out. And then she's satisfied. That's, you know, you say, that's silly. Well, that's okay. I love her. And they'll say, Kayla and Angelia will say, Angelia will drive you crazy. She'll get you in the car. Honestly, I know no parent here has ever dealt with this right here. Exactly. I mean, she has a way about her. She'll say, I love you, Daddy. I say, I love you. And 20,000 times after, I love you. I love you, Angelia. So I'm saying, I love you. Don't say it anymore. I love you, Daddy. I mean, really, you got to be there to know it. Listen, with her, it's a form of manipulation or something. I'm not sure what it is. I'll get even with her someday, though. I've got a good memory. I'll remember. But they say, I love you. And they want you to say, I love you too. Boy, listen. They talk about how children are smarter now than they used to be, and they may not be. Some of you all, y'all look pretty smart. But used to be that parents didn't exactly express their love like they do nowadays. Used to be that they're, and it oughtn't to be that way, but wasn't a whole lot of I love yous and assurance of love given out in the home. But that seems to be more of a prerogative now, even in homes where maybe people aren't even Christian, there's more understanding it's important. You know, one of the first lessons and the most important lesson that a child learns in life is that they're loved. And I think before they can ever really learn to read and write and arithmetic, they need to know there's somebody that loves me. And when a child learns that they're loved, it seems like everything else falls in place a little bit easier. And I'm going to tell you this, as a Christian, your growth will be forever stunted as a Christian until you learn the great lesson that God loves you. Unconditionally, God loves you. I weary of preaching that says, well, boy, listen, you might think you're saved, but God's going to take it away from you. Listen, that's not the love of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to me, Christian. As long as you, until you learn that God loves you, everything the devil throws at you is going to knock you off your feet. But once you learn the great lesson from the valley of despondency, and you wonder, does anybody care? Once you learn that God cares, I know this morning, I know this, that if every person I hold dear to me, every friend, and I believe I've got some good friends, but if every one of them thumbed their nose at me and said, I'm through with you, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God would still love me. I want you to know that. Until you believe that, the devil's always going to have a place. And the Bible says, give no place to the devil. He's always going to have a place with you. Nothing that happens to me happens without God's permission. And if God loves me, then nothing that happens happens without God allowing it for my sake, for my betterment. Why? Because God has a song He wants me to sing. Say, preacher, why in the world is this message important? Because there's a song you're supposed to be singing. And friend, listen, you're in the valley and you're down there and the spring's there and you're parched and weary and trying to endure the valley and trying to fight your way through it, when really the only reason God put you there or allowed you to be there so you could find the spring. And you find the spring and wander over there by it, or hop over there like a bird does, or put your little head down in there. And Brother Nelson, for the church he went to before he came here, he said, I used to go to sleep all the time the preacher was preaching. He wasn't here a whole lot in his later days, but he said, I was like them, one of them birds that they put on the cup that falls forward all the time. And he said, I asked the preacher to give me one of his tapes that helped me sleep. He liked the guy. His preaching put him to sleep. Amen. And I know how he feels. I put y'all to sleep no matter what. I can stand up here and throw rocks at some time. But listen, I know. I'm teasing with you, but listen, hey, I understand this, that you get over there to where that spring is and put your little beak down in there and get that water and come up, and if you need another drink of that water, get down in there again. But listen, when you're full, when you're ready, fly out of that valley and get up in the trees and start singing. I mean, listen, as Christians, there's only two places for us to be. That's in the valley or in the treetops singing. We're not supposed to be in between. How many of y'all believe in purgatory? Not me. I don't believe there's any in-between place. And there's the valley and the mountaintop for the Christian. And as soon as you're full and out of that valley and God gives you release, get up in the treetop and start singing. You're saved. I mean, ultimately, you're going to go to heaven whether you like it or not if you're saved. And if I check my Bible right, when we get there, we won't be complaining. We'll be singing. I mean, a wonderful song when we get there. We'll be singing for all of eternity the praise of our Savior. What are we doing now? I mean, say, preacher, well, it's just therapeutic for me to always be down. Well, it's not really good therapy, amen? It's bad. Say, preacher, the Bible says it's better to be in the house of mourning than the house of mirth. Yeah, that's so you can help people that are suffering and so you can understand those things. But if it's better, that means you're having a good time there even when you're there. You see, no matter what comes my way, no matter what trial comes my way, I just say, well, I guess God really loves me. Or He wouldn't allow this in my life. And God must want to show something great in my life because God must have a song He wants me to sing. You see, the spring of unfailing love that runs through the valley of desperation. There was an old preacher once that as he was dying, people gathered around, family and loved ones gathered in to say goodbye to their loved one, to their hero. And they all came and they all had their little pen out and paper out, and they wanted to capture his last words, his dying thoughts. One of the young men, after a while, said to him, after others had spoke, he said, preacher, he said, tell me something. He said, all the years studying your Bible, and he said, I've heard you preach, and I know you walked with God and lived in the Bible. He said, would you tell me, please, what's the greatest lesson you ever learned in all those years? What's the greatest truth you ever learned in all those years of studying the Bible? The old preacher, who had been lying flat on his back, for that question, something stirred on the inside, and he raised himself as good as he could and got up on his haunches here on his hands and had him behind his back, and he raised himself up, and they quickly put a pillow underneath him to support him, and one put their hand behind him. And as he got to where he was settled, he began to sing with what energy he could and answer that man's question with this song, Jesus loves me, this I know, For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him are weak, but He is strong. Jesus loves me. This I know. The greatest lesson, the most important lesson you'll ever learn is the lesson that Jesus loves you, that God loves you. You got to learn that one. You got to get it. You say, why? Because there's a world full of people that are full of the hate of the devil, and they need to know about the love of God. The only way they're going to know it is to those who have experienced it. And there's a world full of hurting people, and the only way they're going to know that there's a God of comfort and consolation is when you've hurt and you've been in the valley and you've drunk of the spring that runs through the valley of pain and suffering, and you can fly to the treetops and sing the song of the redeemed. I'm going to give you three things that are real quick. I'm just going to tell you what they are. Number one, do nothing to hinder the influence of the springs in the valley. That means this: don't run, don't panic. It means this. You hear me say sometimes things about what the world says and what the humanist teaches, what academia, what the psychology, what they teach. The reason I say that is because there's two ways you can respond to problems: the way the world teaches or the way the Bible teaches. And when I teach that, I believe you can help people with their problems, but I believe we ought to follow the Bible pattern. And one thing that's important when a valley comes or when those things come, there's a purpose for it. Don't run from God. Don't run to the world for the answers. Don't panic. Don't run to men for the answer. Stand still and wait on God, and don't do anything that what you know that God would have you to do it, because you may hinder your ability to sing the song after you've been through the valley. Don't hinder your ability to sing. Number two is look diligently and wait for the springs in the valley. You say, preacher, what if there's no spring in my valley? Then the Bible's not true, because I'm going to assure you that there's a spring in every valley of life you'll face, because God puts them there. God puts them there. And what you and I need to do is just look for that spring. When we find it, begin to drink. And number three, and last of all, is when the release comes, when the time to get out of the valley comes, fly. I mean, get to the treetop as fast as you can and sing. And don't get up there and say, well, I'm afraid if God sees me singing, He'll send another valley. No, you just sing with all your might, as much as you can, because the truth of the matter is, you can only sing for so long. You're going to need some refreshment. You're going to need that water. And God's going to send that valley so that you can find the spring. The purpose of the valley is not to find the valley. The purpose of the valley is to find the spring. And when you find the spring, you know where it comes from. It comes from God. And the spring is to help get you closer to God. And the valley is just a tool that God uses so that you can be a better Christian, so that you can be a better singer, a better songbird, singing in the treetops. The world has a song it sings, and it's usually something bad. But us Christians, we need to get busy singing the song of the redeemed. Dear Heavenly Father, help us today. God, have Your way. Lord, bless now, we pray. And God, I just pray You be with us. In Jesus' name we ask it. We love You, Lord. We thank You for loving us. We thank You for the song of the redeemed, the song that Jesus gives. And God, help us now. As we're in the valley, help us to find the stream, the spring from God. Then help us to fly to the mountaintops, the treetops, and sing the song that comes from the valley spring. And God, help us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Could be that, lest we assume everybody here is saved, could be that someone here has never even been to that valley, that spring in the valley of sin and condemnation, where you find God's grace. And You realize, you're full aware that if you died right now, you don't have that assurance of heaven. I'm going to tell you, that grace that flows from Calvary is available this morning if you'll just come. God will save you and give you that assurance. You may be a Christian wondering. It's time to be honest. I mean, it could be that you need to come to this altar this morning and say, God, I need that spring, because I want to sing that song that You have for me. God, I don't know why, but I know what I need. And what I need is that spring that comes from You. If that's you this morning, as we pray, if you're here without Jesus, you come. Man, don't wait. If you're here and you're saved, but you need to pray and God spoke to your heart, man, don't just take this lightly and say, well, it's just another sermon. Maybe it's a sermon for you that God gave so that you could do something about it and say, God, have your way in my life today. Lord, bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, you need to come. You come. Anybody at all?